Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 12th of January, recording at 9:13 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were mixed. China was steady. So is Japan. And Indonesia, a bit of a world beater in terms of performance. It extended its gains. The Hang Seng and it was mainland China that was steadier. The Hang Seng was down a little bit. So was Australia, about 1%. European stock markets were down across the boards, modest gains, mostly under 1% or around that level. But selling pressure continued throughout the Americas markets, again all showing modest declines. The S&P less than 1%, but the NASDAQ a little bit more. Okay, in terms of long-dated government bonds, they had a good day, particularly the U.S. contracts. The 30-year Treasury bond is up 1.20 seconds. That's good gain, good upward dynamic from the lower side of its range. And the U.S. dollar had a quiet day in here, just down a fraction on the dollar index, although the dollar is up a tiny bit against the euro. But the big news on the day is that we had quite a shakeout in commodity markets. Now, I'm not sure what triggered this. I'll take a guess at it. But it may just be part of the overbought condition. But let me give you, I'll come back and review it, but what had actually happened here today. Precious metals had a shakeout, and that's after we had new highs in palladium, definitely in platinum, but they couldn't maintain it. Gold fell back, currently down $24 as I speak. That takes it back to 1128. And crude oil was down nearly $2, takes it back to 80.56. But the bigger declines were in the grain and bean complex, and that's potentially important. Soybeans, for instance, down 32 ticks. We had an even bigger decline in corn. What else to mention? The industrial metals were also weaker. Sugars, I see, is one of the few commodities up on the day, although that had had a few, it had two or three days on the downside prior to today. Okay, so what's going on here generally? Well, you may recall I mentioned in last night's audio that we had a very short-term overbought condition in many stock markets. And that's as a consequence of the year-end rally that we saw, plus the activity, mostly during last week, that we saw, which was quite strong. So what we basically saw were good extended breakouts from the big trading ranges that had formed during those earlier during that earlier corrective phase, which really persisted. I mean, it started in September, even earlier for some markets, and carried right on into late December before we began to get the upside breakouts. So then markets ran on a daily basis, pretty much as they do following good breakouts from clearly recognizable congestion area trading ranges. And that created a short-term overbought condition, which you can see on the stochastic indices in the chart library, or stochastic indicators, I should say. available via the charting function. Link in the upper left in that black or charcoal band. And so we had that short-term overbought condition, and I think this is just a little bit of profit-taking. And I suspect that it will interrupt the run on the upside, and we'll see a bit of a ranging consolidation. I don't think it'll last very long because we have the big underlying trading ranges to support higher levels. So in terms of global stock markets, this looks like a little pause to me, not much more than that. Now, if I'm wrong, if I'm too optimistic, we would see the evidence in declines that moved well back into the underlying trading ranges and broke the progressions of rising lows. I don't expect that, but I mention it because that is what would indicate that I was underestimating the risk. Now, why do I not expect that? Well, partly because the monetary policy still remains quite favorable overall. There's no reason for central banks to tighten sharply at this stage. Markets will worry about it from time to time, inevitably. But the OECD economies, at least, remain relatively soft, although they will be flattered by some figures that come out as we get the earnings, the year-on-year earnings reports for the fourth quarter of last year, and then also when we eventually see the first quarter results from this year. And I'm of the view that earnings in some of the bigger markets, including the biggest market, the United States, will be generally favorable as companies moved fast to cut overheads, as we know. But there is inevitably nervousness following such good gains as we have seen from the lows of last March, if not the lows going right back to October 2008 for the stronger performing markets. And we've also reached the stage where some markets and some sectors are starting to underperform, where there are question marks. And we have seen some underperformance quite recently in the U.S. banking sectors, for instance. And Owen's done a review of those here today. Okay, well, what about these long-dated government bonds? Nobody likes them, apparently, which may be a short-term contrary indicator, and there have been some articles on the part, we're quoting some high-profile hedge fund managers that were building up short positions in JGBs and U.S. Treasuries and U.K. gilts. Well, as you know, I think they'll probably be right eventually, but it's a tricky trade because the quantitative easing is still going on. Because central banks do not want interest rates to back up. And if speculative positions are being established, short positions in the bonds, the Treasury and the Bank of England, intentionally or accidentally, inadvertently, but almost certainly with full knowledge, will squeeze them. And we may have seen a little bit of that in here today. Overall, that's not bad news for global stock markets because it is the backing up of yields that would worry me considerably were it to occur. Now, what other things do we need to be concerned about? In the three canaries that I had mentioned previously, I had talked about crude oil prices. Well, they saw a pretty sharp jump, actually, a new recovery high on the back of the cold front that's being experienced still really in North America, Europe, China, and some other regions. So that pushed up the demand for heating oil and also natural gas. But crude's backing off now as people begin to anticipate at least some temporary respite on the weather front, and crude oil is not at any sort of crisis point at this level. I would really regard the crisis point as being somewhere around the $100 level, let alone higher. That would be quite a stiff headwind. There's a chance that if we get through the rest of the winter without any repeat of the extreme cold that we've seen recently, that prices may sag back, and that would be good news, I think, for the global economy, since obviously higher oil prices represent a tax on consumption and economic activity generally, for all but the oil for all but the oil exporting countries. Now, the other one is the factor that I've mentioned would be if the dollar went into free fall. Well, the dollar has retraced all of its gains, recent gains, and I should say refer to them as last month's gains. It's retraced all of last month's gains against a few currencies. Those are mostly Asian. It has retraced, and some of the, it has retraced much of its gains against a number of developed country resources markets. Or resources currencies, I should say. And it has certainly lost downward momentum against weak currencies like the euro and sterling. And also the yen in the last few days. So the point is, though, that while we don't have any evidence yet of a extended dollar rally that a lot of people were forecasting at year end, equally, we don't have any evidence that the dollar is going to go into any sort of dramatic slide. I think what we may well get and what would suit the circumstances would be some dull ranging for the most part. So my point is that none of those three canaries in the coal mine that I've mentioned is worrying at this stage. Did I mention the long-dated interest rates? Well, they came down today, and I wrote about those. I think it was yesterday, but and I've written about them on other occasions. I'd prefer not to, as a stock market bull, I'd prefer not to see the U.S. 10-year yields, for instance, pushing above 4% anytime soon. Well, they have backed away from that level recently, and I've identified the 5% level as one that would, I think, ring some alarm bells. Now, elsewhere in these commodity markets. That was the big story, I think, on the day. And I think probably that the grain and bean complex started it off. That's my hunch. There was a report, I think, forecasting better crops in the USA, and that clearly caught the market by surprise. So we had some very big downward dynamics, albeit mostly within trading ranges, but a market like corn was right up in the upper side of a big trading range, and it slammed down from that level. Now, that's not good for anybody who is speculating in corn, soybeans, or wheat recently, and I'm relieved that I wasn't. I must say, I watch these patterns. I've traded them from time to time, as you may recall, as veteran subscribers will recall. But I'm always a little bit nervous about it because they can really be choppy, and they are more prone than any other market to a sharp move, either because there's a sudden supply scare, or in the rare instances, and as we've seen today, there was a, well, I guess you could call it a supply scare, but one of more supply rather than less. Net it all out, and a soft to ranging prices for corn and soybeans, and particularly rough rice, and that's retraced some more of its earlier gains today, is good news for the global economy. It means that food price inflation, particularly the staple foods or food staples, is not occurring. So again, it's a fairly benign environment generally, which I think favors stock markets beyond a small consolidation. I think it still favors commodities, but they will see periodic sharp reactions. I took my remaining profit in platinum earlier today. If I'd really been clever, I would have pulled some of the silver and gold out as well. But it was platinum that had concerned me the most because it had been outperforming recently. I'm a big medium-term bull of platinum. I've been long platinum since the mid-$800 range back in November of 2008. So I've ridden it all the way up, but it was looking a little bit too good on the in terms of the technical action. So I took the rest of it out earlier today, and I may well buy it back if we see a little bit of a little bit more selling pressure. But as long as these, well, I was going to say, as long as these reactions remain within the overall upward trends, I will be looking for higher prices in precious metals over the medium term. Gold and silver, which have done quite well in the last couple of weeks up until today, they've seen some downward dynamics here today. Provided we don't get much follow-through, I'll be relatively relaxed about that. I would not want to see the recent reaction lows taken out. And I think that's pretty much it for now. So I'll wrap up and say all the very best to all of you.